And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. A little bit of week four breakdown, look into week five waivers, and of course, we've got the dynamic duo of Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston in the house. Mr. Jake Seeley, how was your week four? No kickers? Ban the kickers? Anything amazing?
Not really, just besides the continuing celebration of 2022, the year of Saquon Barkley. And just, every year it keeps, every week I should say, it keeps getting better.
It is. It's quite magnificent, to be honest. It's like a reverse Russian nest doll or whatever it is, where they get smaller. It just gets bigger and bigger every single week as we do it. Brandon, are you ready to tackle all of the week four stuff? How was your week four bet? Was betting nice to you? I saw a lot of people complaining, not to make this about betting, about bet. This is the best week I've had. I was perfect. I made all the money where last week. So I think I'm just the anti-sharp. I'm the anti-sharp. So when all the sharps are making their money, I'm losing. So it makes me a donkey. But this weekend was fantastic as far as props and everything go. Devin Singletary paying off for me. How was yours?
No, I was in the red on my player props. So I felt like I had a pretty good, finger on the pulse of things, but a lot of just misses. But I agree. I felt like week four was a little bit more logical, in our world of things, and I think the other 3 weeks we've been grasping for that. But I think we finally got a little bit of normalcy returned to us.
Very interesting.
Yeah, everybody saw 48 to 45 coming for your team.
Oh, yeah. I did. Yeah, those are two terrible defenses.
Very interesting phrase you use when you bring up logical, because we had a, if you want to call it illogical situation or a crazy fantasy situation arise on Sunday. And I want to talk about this because I know Jake was hitting this on Twitter. Many of us, if West Coast, Brandon and I are both on the West Coast, this London game started at 6:30 a.m. Okay. East Coast, it's a little bit better for you guys. You got a little bit more time, but regardless, it's a very early, early time. Well, I woke up because I'm not getting up at 6 in the morning to check for one game, especially not the Saints and the Vikings. But I would have benefited had I done that, because any of us that were asleep woke up to an inactive Alvin Kamara, which kind of had the fantasy industry buzzing a little bit with a lot of different takes. One of our friends, Mike Florio over NFL Network, put out an interesting poll of saying, since there were no reports, this was his poll, so I want to give him credit for it. We're kind of stealing it. But he had said, since there are no reports on Kamara, and this was kind of up in the air, or he would have been a scratch, if someone wasn't awake to get out of their lineup, should they be able to replace him with a player who has not played yet? He ran this poll. To my surprise, over 75% said no, tough, set an alarm. Even some industry people, Vlad Sedler, a friend, said Alvin Kamara inactive, non-accountability stuff this morning felt like we were in a crazy alternative reality. I don't agree with this. And Jake, I kind of think you might be with me that this is a tough situation overall, that maybe there is some precedent to help if it's possible. But you want to talk about how you felt about the Kamara inactive situation?
I just feel like I'm not a heartless, cold-blooded asshat. That's really what it comes down to. Like, if you want to win your league on this, I get it. Look, we're out for blood. It's fantasy league, and I saw people saying, well, if there's high stakes league or if it's just a fun league, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just not heartless. That's what it comes down to. You want to call me soft? Go right ahead. I don't care what you think, because what it comes down to is I try to understand people have lives. I try to understand that not everybody is like us. And on top of this, 24 hours a day, on top of the fact of seeing that Latavius Murray got activated off the practice squad on a Saturday, because people have families, people have lives, people aren't waking up and setting alarms for 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Hell, even on the East Coast, waking up and potentially at church with your kids or family or whatever it is and not being able to check these things, because everything up to this point, the report going to bed on Saturday was, you know, questionable, but should play. There was no like, oh, it's going to be a game time decision. This was should play. So I understand people out there and their situations and like understanding that they don't have their phone on top of them 24 hours a day for all the updates. And I'm just trying to be understandable. I'm trying to understand, like, it's not a 4 o'clock game. It's not a 1 o'clock with 13 other games and now it's 1:30. Oh, I didn't realize this at 1:30. Okay, you know, oh, tough luck. Sunday night, you had news all day, understand. This was a weird situation. We have 4 London games a year. Well, actually 3 in Germany. It's not a normal situation. And on top of it, he was supposed to play. There was no real concern. So I'm just trying to be understandable. If you want to play by the rules, quote unquote, then sure, fine. But it was, even once the game was over, you still had an hour and a half before the rest of the league started where you could have plugged somebody in. I don't think you should have been allowed to pick somebody off waivers, but somebody on your bench, plug him in. I don't have a single lick of a problem with that. And call me whatever. I'm just not going to be heartless about it, even if I had $10,000 on the line, just because I'm trying to understand people's lives.
You know, and I really, really agree. This might be a surprise in having multiple analysts agree on this front, because I believe fantasy is also supposed to be fun. And yes, there are high stakes stuff. The one counter is, I got dealt with a situation where I have a league that I play in. It's a Superflex Dynasty. I had Kamara. I had him in. He was locked in. But I didn't really complain because we didn't have a precedent for it. But I do feel that any league, if it wants to justify, could do this now. And I also felt, this is a big one, I also felt that it was an opportunity for a site to jump in and potentially make, because the problem is these rosters lock. A place like, let's just say Fantrax specifically, could have been the place that what they could have done is they could have unlocked that spot so someone could have taken him out to be inactive and set the industry standard so it was even available. Because I think there would have been a lot of technical issues commissioners could have complained about. But at the end of the day,
power.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it is meant to be fun.
I'm glad you set precedent. Not to jump on you, and I know Brandon probably wants to jump in, but like this feels like when COVID first got it started. Like this was like, oh my God, an hour before the game, or like an hour, like, you know, I'm not around. I didn't know at 4 o'clock I was going to have to check that blanky blank was going to be out for COVID at the 4 o'clock game. So like, and we all sat here and pivoted that year and said, oh, maybe we should have contingency plans for COVID. So again, like you said, this wasn't normal. And 9 o'clock in the morning to get information at 8 o'clock, you know, for West Coast, as you said, you would have to set your alarm for 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Just, I'm just trying to be understandable. That's
especially all with all the time that I had there. You know, in between it could have been. But Brandon, maybe you feel different. Maybe you feel different about this, or are you going to agree with the three of us on the Kamara situation?
Well, I mean, you guys are moving me a little bit towards agreeing, but I had this happen to me. I mean, this was my biggest league. I've had a horrible start, and, you know, but I did wake up, and I woke up like in the first quarter and started watching the game. I was like, where the hell is Kamara? And he was out, but I'm the commissioner of the league. I didn't even think anything of it. I was like, okay, I guess that's on me. I should have got up ahead of time and checked that. But yeah, it's unfortunate that the timing of the week that they do this is the week that they're in London. And, you know, it's going to be an early wake up call to be able to catch that. But I just assumed that's cut and dried. Like, whatever the game times are, you're the person in charge of your team. You're in charge of, setting your lineup. I guess it is kind of a corner case because it's so rare, and it is inconvenient time for a person on the West Coast for the one time, you know, or the three times out of the year. But I just, you know, I didn't even bother complaining about it. I just didn't even think that was the thing you could do.
Yeah, no, an important thing I want to throw. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll give you another example. My home league, and we have money on the line, and this is a longstanding keeper / auction league, but somebody was traveling with their family out in Wyoming. Don't ask me why Wyoming, but was out in Wyoming last weekend for the 4 o'clock. I forget what player was questionable for 4 o'clock and was in the middle of nowhere service because it's Wyoming. And at 4:30, it was like, hey, I've been trying. I finally got through. Can you swap out blank if he wasn't playing? I still can't even check if he's not playing. And I texted the league and I said, hey, I didn't even put it up for a vote. I just said, I'm swapping him out because I understand his plight. If you have a problem with it, come at me because I'm the commissioner. Like, just because, again, I'm just trying to understand people play in leagues and try to do this for, you said it, it's for fun. Like, I understand money might be on the line. I understand everybody wants to win. And I'm not trying to sound like an ass when I say this, but if that's how you want to win, then fine. I think it's kind of like, you know what I'll compare it to? I saw a highlight on Instagram last week. It was this high school play, and the quarterback started waving his hand in the air and started walking towards the sideline with the ball. Like, he was like, oh, there's something wrong here. And then ran off for the end zone because it was like, he tricked the other team. It's like, okay, funny trick play. I don't know how it's legal to have that kind of motion or whatever it was, but apparently it was in high school. If you want to win that way, fine. It feels like a schmuck move to me. It does. Like, you can, again, if you want to come at me, that's fine. It just feels, and I know you're not saying that, Fonson, but I'm just saying, like, if you want to bring the case up and then everybody sits there like, no, you're screwed. You didn't argue for it, Fonson, because you're just like, oh, that's on me. But if you were to argue it, I'd be like, okay, cool. I understand that you went through that. It's tough. You're on the West Coast. But the people are saying, like, screw you. You're tough luck. Be better. Like, that just feels schmucky to me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And I completely agree with that. And that's kind of my point. Like, we all kind of got hit, or Brandon and I both got hit with this. I didn't complain. I do think if it's something that became an issue, leagues might consider having some type of precedent towards this with London games and activities for the future. And really, I just, like, if he had played one snap, got hurt, okay, we're not talking about anything. But the idea that he becomes inactive and then you can't do anything after, really, I also think that could be a site feature of, like, the guy is inactive, why can't we swap him out? But again, it's a conversation across the board. To me, it's to have fun, but it's also wasn't worth freaking out about. So anybody that would be like, oh my God, can you believe this stance? It's like, okay, well, it happened to me. I didn't really complain, but it's worth talking about because
it worth created a lot of conversation.
What do we say to the people that live in Hawaii or play internationally who this is just like an every Sunday kind of a deal? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, what would it have been for them? Was it like 2 a.m. or something when the game went on? So that's brutal. But yeah, it was a really weird situation. But, you know, it's worth conversation. And there was a lot of anti that move, but a couple pieces here that are for
and
them.
Just to put the finer point, like, just leave it at this. Again, I think that if questionable game time decision is different than questionable, but is expected to play, like, every report was expected to play.
Yeah, it was wild. We had some big injuries that are going to have different factors here. One of the biggest ones that
are
looks
they expected
scary.
To play in week 5?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. That's gonna might have to have a precedent for it. This first one here really seemed a lot scarier yesterday, and it seems to have chilled and calmed a little bit. The report yesterday we got from Zach Kiefer, who is over at The Athletic, said that the Colts were fearing a high ankle sprain, the dreaded high ankle sprain for running back Jonathan Taylor. They asked about his availability. They said they're obviously not sure, blah, blah, blah. Ian Rapoport, though, reported on Monday morning that the Colts now believe that this is nothing serious. It is a non-serious ankle injury. But so we can kind of like maybe move off of the conversation of long-standing time missed and what that would have done most likely to Nyheim Hines. This does put in major questions of his availability for this this coming weekend. So, Brandon, we kind of dodged a bullet from this weekend on Jonathan Taylor. But if he's out, that's going to sting for all, you know, first overall or second overall picks for everybody. But Nyheim Hines looks like he would be in an incredible situation for a workload this week.
Yeah, I mean, but he's not, you know, I mean, maybe they'd be willing to, if Jonathan Taylor really is like a 1 to 2 week injury, maybe they'd be willing to lean into Nyheim Hines as kind of like a featurey kind of role. But not really kind of, you know, they're not equivalent. And he's definitely truly more of a change of pace kind of back, kind of like saying, hey, J.D. McKissic, you're going to be our lead carrier, you know, with with the Commanders or something like that. So I'm expecting, you know, somebody else would come into the mix, Deion Jackson, but not serious on an ankle injury for a running back. Like, I know in basketball, guys roll their ankles. They're out 2 to 3 weeks before they're back. So, like, an NFL running back that has to plant on that ankle, I'm guessing that's, you know, even if it's just your run-of-the-mill ankle injury, like a sprained ankle, rolled ankle, it's probably at least a two-game injury.
That would be my guess as well. Jake, any takeaways off of this? The dodging a major, major injury is great, but that's actually a great point. Even though they're kind of like poo-pooing it a little bit, they're like, this is nothing serious. That doesn't mean it's not going to be 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully with some very clear injury tags so we know what's going on. But what do you think about Taylor, Hines, or any replacements that could jump in, even if it's just for 1 week?
Well, for the first part about it, is it truly not a high ankle sprain is curious. We'll find out about that. But the thing we'll go back to is, as much as I celebrated Saquon Barkley, let's not forget Saquon Barkley last year, who went through something similar. If it's not high ankle, because it wasn't high, it was mid last year, or maybe mid and low, whatever it might be. Barkley came back and he wasn't himself for the rest of the year. Our own Dan Duggan even said that, like, he lost that second gear explosiveness where normally he's hitting that gear and he's avoiding that first level tacklers. He was getting hit time and again because he didn't have that burst anymore. So that's a concern with Jonathan Taylor. But for the replacement side of things, I keep saying this. It's funny. It's like a lot of people are 90 Hines, 90 Hines, 90 Hines. And with what Funston just said, yeah, there's a limit to 90 Hines, though. Like, could he be McKissic? Like, McKissic when he briefly filled in for Washington in years past and, like, an RB2? Sure, but Deion Jackson's going to be involved. Let's not remember the Philip Lindsay. Everybody wants to see him back involved again. He's on their practice squad right now. I think there'll be somebody else involved where, yeah, sure, Naeem Hines, but I think that I would, in this scenario, unless I was desperate for a running back, I'd let somebody else drop the bag on Naeem Hines and then just try to find something else, because I don't think it's going to be what people expect, and I think the over-aggressiveness is going to be way out of what you should do.
Let's go full circle and let's have them sign Marlon Mack off the 49ers squad. And let's just go life full circle here. The only thing I would...
Well, he was active last week. We'll have to see if he's active tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he was. The only thing I would counter with just a tiny bit that is a positive for Naeem Hines, because I agree, like, you're not going to give Naeem Hines like 20 plus carries. You're not going to give him all of that. Most likely, like many running back situations, they would give early downs away. But what that does is, in my eyes, that puts Naeem Hines back out in the situations almost every time of what he's so great at. And it would be all the third downs. It would be all those passing downs where sometimes you're getting Jonathan Taylor just because of Jonathan Taylor. If those are all Naeem Hines, what you're doing is you're just increasing the area where Naeem Hines can succeed. And that might put up some half decent numbers where you can get
a
solid flex.
Matt Ryan's still a quarterback.
Yeah, the offense is horrible. That was actually literally where I was going to go. The only counter is Matt Ryan is awful.
Whatever I was worried awful. About what was going to stop Jonathan Taylor from repeating his RB1 this year, the answer was Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's gross.
So much for that upgrade, right?
Exactly.
By the way, Jake, Jordan Wilkins is an unsigned free agent right now as well. So
oh, God,
I used to always call for Jordan Wilkins to get an opportunity there.
Sign Jordan Wilkins and Marlon Mack. The backfield would explode in a furious of amazingness.
Let's do it. So a more serious injury is over with the Broncos. Javonte Williams, the report, this was late last night, still kind of sitting out there from Ian Rapoport, was Javonte Williams is feared to have suffered a serious knee injury, according to sources. He's going to have an MRI today to determine the full extent, which we have not seen. But there is not, this is in his tweet, not a lot of optimism surrounding the injury. So, Jake, this obviously screams Melvin Gordon to start. Melvin Gordon got banged up in the game and hates the football. He needs to do, what was that movie where it was like, wasn't Omar Epps had to hold the football around
program.
Campus? Melvin Gordon needs to do that. They need to do a little bit of that for a whole week. But there was a high snap usage for Mike Boone. And Mike Boone, they like to run the two running back set anyways. Mike Boone looked all right. So, you know, here you go. Javonte looks like he's going to miss some time. Melvin Gordon, Mike Boone, how do you sparse this out?
I think if they continue with what's work, I put that in quotes, work kind of, like, this is going to be a split backfield. We could look at all the head coach too. This is even before Hackett got here. But Hackett's old team, what does Hackett do? Splits the backfield. And they were already doing this last year before Hackett got there, and it just continued under Hackett. So I don't think anything is going to change. I think if Melvin Gordon's fine, it's going to be the Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone party, the two of them. If Melvin Gordon wants to get benched because he can't hold on to the football, and they bring somebody else in, sign somebody off somebody's practice squad, do something, like, it's still going to be a split. I would go after Mike Boone if you need running back help. If you lost Javonte Williams, if you need a running back, go after Mike Boone. But I would not expect Javonte Williams level, even if it is Mike Boone seeing the lead work with how Melvin Gordon is fumbling. So I guess this is the time we're running to buys too, which is, this is the worst thing. And this is why I'm kind of more aggressive of finding like the Jeff Wilson replacement a couple weeks ago, where I was saying, drop it, go for him 100% hard all in, because I'd rather be dealing with Jeff Wilson right now than Mike Boone.
Brandon, yeah. Do you think there's going to see any increase from Melvin Gordon? Because I agree with this. I think Mike Boone is going to get some work. It's not going to feel sexy when you are putting Javonte Williams on an IR and you're putting Mike Boone in and you're trying to talk. It's like talking to yourself in the mirror. You're like, we can do this. You can't. You're not going to be able to do it. Like, Mike Boone's going to be rough as a start. But do you expect Melvin Gordon to even see any increase, maybe in more of the important situations, red zone situations, maybe a few more carries? Or do you think it is just going to stay how it was?
I don't think it's going to be Mike Boone's coming in and taking like the Javonte. One thing I know in that game with Mike Boone came in is he was awful in the passing game. And I went and looked at his career numbers. He's done nothing in the passing game. And I think there's a reason for that. Like, people have cried for Mike Boone to be on the field more often. And I think NFL coaches would have done that if he was a good receiver, because you can always put a guy in a change of pace role, get him out there and give him some run that way. He's never developed that way. And he was awful in the passing game. So I think he comes in as a Javonte Williams runner. Like, he'll absorb a lot of the Javonte Williams carries and split with Melvin Gordon there. But I think Melvin Gordon takes all of the passing game work. A lot of it. Like, I think it becomes the very dominant passing game guy. And I think what ultimately,
like, 60-40.
Yeah.
Is like what I was thinking. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what if his name was Mike Mac Wilkins? Then
I don't know what to do with that. Yeah. What if his name was Mike Mac Wilkins? I don't know. That's a good question.
Let's get some athletic fantasy football jerseys made of Mac. What was it? Mike Mac Bookins?
Wilkins.
Marlon
Mack, Jordan Wilkins, Mike Boone all together. It would be the best running back in the history of football.
that's funny. That
yeah, sign me up for that.
I like that. Well,
trade Saquon Barkley for him.
Do you guys, and this is preemptive, Jake, do you think that Melvin Gordon is an RB2 for week 5?
Yes.
Okay, Brandon, do you agree?
Who are they playing?
I don't care.
That's a great question. Yeah, that I didn't do that type of work here,
well,
Brandon.
Well, no, because I actually... Like, depending on who they're playing, I could, you might even convince me to go RB1. Like, I mean,
it's Thursday night. It's the one for the Jonathan Taylor game. It's Thursday night.
It's Colts. It's Colts and Broncos. Yeah, because you have the two biggest injuries.
It could be close. I mean, you got Shaq Leonard, who is out again. You know, I'm just saying. I was boosting Jamal Williams and Khalil Herbert up into the RB1, you know, conversation last week. That's just where we are at running back. So, like. He's definitely RB2 for me, and probably.
Here's what you need. You had to set him up. I'll get you. You know, it's just your first year, Welsh. So this is, you have to set him up. Week 5, Rashad Penny or Melvin Gordon
against the Saints. Oh man, I'm going Melvin Gordon. There, said it.
Really? God, man. Me and Bogman on the ITL pod had a huge debate about Rashad Penny and his trade value, and he's on another planet right now. And I don't know, like, Rashad Penny,
trade him for Cook, trade him for Najee Harris, do it.
Yeah, well, if you could do it, well, that was a question. Like, I don't think you can trade Rashad Penny for anything remotely close to production. Well, I mean, I'm here for it. Let's get the comments in the next episode. Let me know what the comments are saying. Let me hear all the, should I start Penny or Cook? Let's get those, please. Over on the Bills, one more injury. Jamison Crowder, broken ankle. That's going to be some serious time. You also had Isaiah McKenzie get knocked a little bit. Gabe Davis has been relatively bad overall. Dude. So this isn't about Jamison Crowder necessarily so much as it is this Khalil Shakir time, Brandon?
I don't know. I mean, I think Gabe Davis, we're just waiting for his ankle to be all the way healthy again. I think Isaiah McKenzie, I think we're in very short time. We're talking about Shakir as the fourth option among receivers in this offense. So, like, I'm not willing to, you know, bet anything on Shakir long term right now, because I just think Isaiah McKenzie and Gabe Davis are going to be right in short order. So I'm, you know, he's interesting, but Jameson Crowder is kind of like, the injury to Crowder is like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound, you know, kind of a deal.
And maybe this is more about McKenzie. Maybe this, it's not meant to be about Shakur. It's just a big powered offense that's going to create some excitement around. It's just there also, Davis is not right. You've got, McKenzie was a little bit banged, but Jake, maybe this is more about McKenzie. McKenzie, Shakur, is there going to be increased interest moving forward with Crowder out?
No, this is your window to buy low on Gabriel Davis. This is what it is. Oh. That's what it's about. This is everybody going, falling over themselves to draft Gabriel Davis inside the top 20. We had articles on the site talking about how is he not top 20 in your ranks, blah, blah, blah. And this is like Funston just said, he's not 100%. And there was even talk into this game that he still wasn't. And it's clear he's still not 100%. This is your buy window. The concern I have for McKenzie is that, of all people, when Jake Kumerow, not even the same position and role on this team, but when Kumerow was active for those two times, McKenzie was fourth on the option behind him. And again, it's not the same role. McKenzie versus Crowder was never really a thing. McKenzie had already taken over that role. So maybe I do like Shakur, and maybe I have a soft spot because I feel like I should have talked to him at the combine. I was actually talking to Jamie Eisenberg, and the worst time, this was probably one of the worst run combines of interviews I've ever seen in my life. Is they were bringing him out sporadically and not at the same, and we're sitting there getting ready to go to lunch, and they bring out Shakur by himself at 12:20. There are like 10 people in the room, and Shakur goes up to this podium and there's nobody. And I'm like, no. Oh my God, I feel terrible for this kid. And I wanted to go talk to him because, like I said, like I jokingly compared him to like Debo. Everybody wants the next Debo because he runs out of the backfield well. I was like, but I kind of didn't know what else to like talk about for 10 minutes. And I didn't want to leave him up there. So I didn't want to be the guy that like goes there and be like, so do you play video games? Because I just felt, and fortunately, after about 3 or 4 minutes, like three people walked over. I was about to after at that
but
point.
Was he but maybe standing there alone for 3 minutes?
For like 3 minutes. For three no. minutes. Like nobody's like, just he's just sitting there at the podium with nobody to talk to. So oh. maybe, and I say that to say like maybe I have a soft spot for him, like I want to see it happen for him after witnessing that in person, but I do really believe that it is Gabe Davis by low window, and that's what the truth is here.
Well, you mentioned that. The Debo Samuel type of stuff, so that can get a soft spot for me really quickly if they start doing some of the
some of his runs at the college. There he had the Debo back, but the way that you're I'll tell you this one thing I was wrong about the Bills: the bell cow used for Singletary I did not think was going to continue into this year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get, by the way, you know, I was so hard-pressed about Singletary last week, and it was like, I'm Singletary, I'm the highest guy in Singletary. Not really a win, but the bell cow stuff keeps going on, like you said. He even had a fumble, he got back in it. Every prop, that was what I was talking about, every prop hit for him, because no one is accounting for him. Rushing prop hit, receiving hit in the second quarter, reception prop. He just got to get, you know, I mean, that offense wasn't flowing as well. If I could have got that touchdown, it really would have paid off. But, you know, he has been the bell cow. He has been the guy. Speaking of which, just real quick, I would like to see McKenzie use in a Debo role in that offense. I think he would be really great for that. I'd love to see getting the ball a little bit
Some
more.
People
but
assume that would happen.
You would think, but, you know, whatever offenses. J.K. Dobbins is back. Maybe on the touchdowns he was in that same game. 13 for 41 with a rushing touchdown. Also caught 4 passes. For a touchdown on many people's bench. Many, many people were celebrating the bench, the all bench team of J.K. Dobbins. Luckily for me, it was not, because I played in a lot of deeper leagues. I had him in flex. I finally got to use him after getting killed for drafting him, and now I had to wait till week 4. Jake, is J.K. Dobbins back in a comfortable spot for you that you don't have to worry about matchups? You just start and go.
That's just what we just wanted to see him 100%. We referenced it on this show last week, and I brought up Virginia Zakas and inside injuries, saying it was going to take some time, and potentially by the end of September. Guess what? It's October. Whether or not he had the 4 games like Barkley last year to get here, he got here by the time off, and the Ravens played the long game with him and didn't do what they did. Like the Giants did with Barkley, is they just had him out there in week 1. It was like, oh, Barkley doesn't look 100%. And the Ravens said, we're going to make sure he's ready, make sure he's ready, make sure he's ready. First week back, they don't use him 100%. Like, all right, let's get the rust shaken off. Week 2, gone, done. Everything's over. We're back inside the top 20 every single week. And I say only top 20 because he's still in the backfield with Lamar Jackson, who's going to run. He still is touchdown reliant because he's not going to get 20 carries in a game unless they're destroying somebody and blowing them out. And even in that case, he might get benched just to keep him healthy. So that's why. But going forward, I don't care if he's facing the Saints run defense. I don't care if he's facing the Seahawks run defense. Actually, if he's facing the Seahawks and Lions run defense, I might put him inside the top 10. But he's top 20. Just start him going forward.
Brandon, same thing with J.K. Dobbins. No more will he sit and score points on any benches for you?
Yeah, right. I mean, he had 17 touches. That's kind of what we wanted to see. Like, you know, Michael Salfino keeps referencing it over the last couple of weeks that Justin Hill looks better. And I think that's probably just speaks to the fact that J.K. Dobbins, even though they're giving him more run, he is not going to be the full J.K. Dobbins. Maybe not even this year, but he can be good enough. And, you know, the volume is what we needed to see. And he was a touchdown machine as a rookie. Like, I think the second half of the year, he scored like every game. And here he is again. And encouraging for me to see that he's actually, the last 2 weeks, got six catches, done something meaningful in the passing game, which isn't something that Ravens running backs typically do. So J.K. Dobbins, when you go back to his rookie year, had some nice receiving games mixed in. Sometimes he was completely ignored, but I think they, you know, Lamar Jackson feels pretty good about dumping the ball off to him, and that should be encouraging as well going forward.
Early week, J.K. Dobbins or Melvin Gordon? Week five.
Dobbins.
I'm going to go Gordon. I think they're close. I think I'll rank Gordon higher, though.
Okay. I wanted to see where we are. We were
working. Again, I don't even know who's playing who yet. Like, I have no
You've got Ravens playing the Bengals on Sunday Night Football at home, and then we had the Broncos are hosting the Colts at home also. Yeah.
So I'll take Gordon slightly.
Okay, so maybe that'll be a good debate we can keep looking at. It is the Kenny Pickett era. Small hands or not, he is the quarterback. Mixed reviews. I actually called this on a Sunday stream I was doing. I called Kenny Pickett coming in, and it's mixed reviews. Two rushing touchdowns, definitely throws a nice ball, moves around in the pocket, but threw three picks. Two, you watch the game, though, one really bad. The other two, I really don't put crazy on him. One was at the end of the game or the half, and the other was his very first pass, which hit Claypool kind of in the hands. He threw into double coverage, which was stupid, but Claypool didn't make a really great move for it. So Kenny Pickett is in, and one of the biggest takeaways I had was, my God, does he love George Pickens. It is going to be Pickett to Pickens, as George Pickens had 8 targets, 6 catches, 102 yards. So, Brandon, let's start with you. Kenny Pickett in Superflex is interesting, but this really feels like a boost in my eyes to George Pickens, but how much for you?
Yeah, I think you often see that with the rookies coming in and they work together. They get extended, you know, work in the early summer and things like that. So, like, that, there's that. There's also the fact that George Pickens is really talented and, you know, he's got a few games under his belt, and we should expect to see George Pickens get better and better and better as the year goes on, even if it was Mitch Trubisky still a quarterback. But, yeah, I agree with you. Two of those picks weren't really on him. I think, you know, he moves around pretty good. I mean, that last one, I was
I'll give him 1.5.
Last one's nonsense. The first one, I think you can make an argument for.
The first one was just stupid.
It was
But,
dumb.
You know, the last one was like a 60-yard chuck, so that was at least.
Oh, that's what I said, 1.5.
I know, but I was actually, I was like, can Kenny Pickett get it down there? And you know.
Oh, no. So I definitely don't fault him for that one. I give him 1/2 for the Claypool one because I'm like, all right, Claypool almost bailed him out. That's what I'm going with that one.
I guess I was making excuses because I was like, man, that's a nice, pretty ball that he got up and came down in. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks make that type of pass. So I thought that was like the prototypical jump catch ball. So I guess I was giving him extra credit for that. But yeah, you throw into double coverage and Claypool is probably not the smartest move.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Jake, I think George Pickens can be seen as a wide receiver 3 moving forward. Hard disagree, or can you get down with that?
I can get down with that. I'm going to talk about a waiver wire order. I've been telling people to stash Pickens forever, and I've made the joke on the show. And as soon as they drafted, it's like Claypool announced the better wide receiver. The only issue with Pickens was the off-the-field issues, which he went to Mike Tomlin. And that's an amazing situation for anybody who has off-field issues, because he's one of the best at helping players with that. So Pickens' talent is undeniable. So the unfortunate thing is, I feel bad, is because this past week, we're now in week 4, and some people had to make roster cuts. And it's like, I have to cut one for a defense. And it's like, well, I guess Pickens, because he needs the quarterback change. And I felt like he was digging in his heels and he was going to wait. If you look at the next 2 games, I said this. So there's 2 things. So let me say this before everybody, because if they saw my tweet, they're going to be like, you just said blank. But they're headed to Buffalo, and then they have another tough matchup after Buffalo. I think it's Denver. And we were like, well, he's going to wait till after that. And I made the comment and I said, if Pickett's going to come into the NFL and play so poorly against these 2 teams that he can't succeed in the NFL, then he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. And I said that. It's like, sometimes we overrate the whole, like, well, they face this team this week, this team this week. This, like, seems like the best week for him to start. Look, he's supposed to be an NFL quarterback. He's supposed to be able to play against anybody. And that's what I was saying. But the thing was, is I was on the side that I thought Tomlin was going to dig his heels in and it'd be a few more weeks. So unfortunately, if you did drop him, turn right around and go after him. He's inside my top 3 sneak preview as the end of the show. He is way up there on go get Pickens if you had to drop him.
In that same game, we also got, I'm going to say this, but, you know, you guys refute it. I'm not sure we really, really got a full answer and look, but we got a little sneak peek into what Zach Wilson looks like with these wide receivers and how it runs. Elijah Moore ended up getting 4 targets, 3 catches for 53 yards. But I'll tell you, if you watch that game, it just felt like he had more. Garrett Wilson, 6 targets, but could only pull 2 down for 41 yards. And Tyler Conklin did not disappear, which might have been a surprise for some. Jake, what do you think? Do you think we saw enough out of this to have our answers that, hey, guess what? Unfortunately, Wilson and Moore are probably going to be monopolized to the point where they're at best wide receiver 3s, both of them moving forward and not trustworthy? Or do you think you saw enough out of one side that you can feel great about Wilson or Moore or any of that?
I think part of it, too, is you also left out one of the names that was still involved there is Corey Davis. Touchdown. I think this is very so on All in Football Today. I compared him. I said, I think it's the Washington Commanders. And you're going to have all 3. You're going to have frustrating potential weeks here and there where one of the 3 produces and it's not the one you hope. You try to play the matchups. And if you look at target share just for week 4, Corey Davis actually had the highest. 20.6%, 17.6% for Wilson. And 11.8, the interesting thing is who ran the most routes? Elijah Moore, yet again. And so it's basically route order is reverse. It's Moore, Wilson, Davis. The target share went Davis, Wilson, Moore. What I think this comes down to is, remember the Washington Commanders? Dotson caught a touchdown, but it was messy for McLaurin. McLaurin the first 2 weeks didn't get the touchdowns, but had the yards. And then, of course, Curtis Samuel was going off. I think we have to face that. I would say, as of 1 game, still Wilson, maybe barely than more than Davis, but it could be interchangeable and it could be frustrating going forward. If somebody wants to give you top 20 value for Wilson right now, still, I might look to get out of it.
It's like the old school, like it's the Walmart version of that Rams team that had Robert Woods, Kupp, and Brandon Cooks. And every week it was kind of like going in different directions. This is the Walmart version of that with Elijah Moore, yeah. Corey Davis, and Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson also had half the air yards per target than Moore and Corey Davis to show how his usage was with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Brandon, same thing. I mean, Moore, Wilson, are there worries in general? I mean, unfortunately, it does feel like they're going to kind of just eat into each other, and I think all their values take a hit.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll add to this is that, I mean, Zach Wilson just brings a higher ceiling to the equation. There's a greater level of volatility with him, but there is some gunslingerness to him, and you know, he has a live arm, and there are going to be disappointments with one to two of these receivers each week, but there's also going to be the potential for one of them to just have this, you know, this big play that helps carry your fantasy club. So I think there's a raised ceiling here, potentially even a lowered floor, because Joe Flacco, you know, for all of it,
it's like Flacco is throwing 45, 60 times a game.
That's like, That's what I'm saying. Like Wilson, I think could, you know, there's more likelihood that a Moore or a Wilson could have a zero with Zach Wilson than with Joe Flacco.
Oh, sure. But let me push back in this way. At least with Joe Flacco, we knew it was Garrett Wilson, Tyler Conklin, and that's it.
Yeah.
Even throwing the ball 50 times a game. I think this, I agree with you, potentially have a higher ceiling overall, but I think we now got more of a cluster.
Yeah. Except for in the backfield where Breece Hall looks like he's, you know, clearly putting distance between.
He said it was going to take time. Week four, it's over.
Yep. Yeah, and he looks phenomenal. Shout out to him for cashing my rushing yard prop as well. So thank you, Breece Hall. Let's talk about waivers. Brandon, we'll start with you. This is the preview to the waivers this week. I always set this as a top three. You guys are welcome to adjust as you want and how aggressive this looks like. So let's get the preview for your top three on waivers for week five coming off of week four.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is just kind of, I always had to do the caveat. You might not be fishing for running backs, you know, but more people are looking for running back help than wide receiver help. So I put the running backs up top, but like we've already talked about it. If you're looking for a wide receiver, George Pickens would be my one. And I think Alec Pierce, you know, last couple of weeks, 60 and 80 yards. You know, maybe they're leaning more on the passing game with Jonathan Taylor out as well. If he's out for, but I think Alec Pierce is someone I'm interested in as well. I'd put him behind Pickens. Mike Boone, we talked about it. You know, we think he's going to probably get 40% of that backfield. So I think you have to go out and grab him. And I put Isaiah Pacheco number two. This is a game that looked like it was a runaway for the Chiefs. It got a little bit closer, but Pacheco got another 11 carries. Jerick McKinnon wasn't involved. Like, I'm just going to sit on Pacheco and wait. And I was going back and forth with Eno Benjamin and Isaiah Pacheco a couple weeks ago, whether who I wanted to drop, because I had to drop somebody. And I remember I texted Jake. I'm like, you know, what am I doing here? But I was just like, you know what? Pacheco's the long-term play. Like he's, you know, just kind of ride this one out. Eno's role doesn't likely change, but Pacheco's could very well change. We don't know, but CEH, you know, goes out and has a really good game. So that kind of puts things on hold for a little bit, but there is the second half potential for Pacheco to be a really big deal.
It's probably the right move, but I'd probably be wanting to get Eno Benjamin back up, by the way.
Just after he looks good.
Yeah, I texted Bogman when I was watching this game, and I had a little bet on it, and I was like, where's James Conner? I never saw James Conner. He ended up having his carries and stuff like that, but I felt like I never saw him out there. So, you know, Benjamin would be someone that's interesting for me, at least, to pick up. I thought it was interesting what you said in that, like, if you need a wide receiver, though sometimes I think when you look at waivers, though, there is a it doesn't matter what you need situation, yeah, or you're in the middle. So, you know, Jake, I throw it to you as you're going to give yours. Is there a situation where it's like, hey, if you just kind of like, you know, need either of them, is the running back going to be prioritized over the wide receiver? Or do you think a guy like George Pickens is more worth any running back that you could pick up this week?
So if you don't need anything at all, these running back options are temporary replacements, unless it's Algier. I think that Algier could be a top 25 running back, especially if Cordell Patterson misses time. Well, more so specifically if he misses time, or Atlanta starts trying to get him hurt every single week and splits this down like a 50-50, because I think he is the more powerful runner. And if you're looking for this offense when, you know, valuable touches, I think Algier might be the only one. Again, this is pure upside. If you need immediate help, it's going to be Mike Boone, maybe Deion Jackson, depending on if they do call anybody up. If they don't call anybody up, that might be your telling thing. And I'm kind of assuming that Naeem Hines isn't out there. So this is basically, say, Colts backfield. See how that shakes out. With Mike Boone, but Algier would be if the pure upside running backs. Brian Robinson would actually be my number one for running backs if you're looking for pure upside. The Antonio Gibson has gone down in snap share week by week by week by week.
It's 41%.
Yep, 4 week low. It keeps ticking down, and it's strange because he really hasn't done much to change the opinion. Like, he's not fumbling. He's not
performing poorly. He's not Melvin Gordon out there. Like, I don't understand the tick down. I don't know if they're getting ready for Brian Robinson's return or something, but it was kind of strange. So I think that's kind of telling, but it is George Pickens. If you want the pure upside, all things being equal, I would lead towards the running back. I would go Brian Robinson or Algier just because they're harder to find. And we're just about to hit those 16 bye weeks, which is just going to be miserable. People are going to be looking for running backs everywhere. So I would still lean to that. But if you're flush at running back, it would definitely be George Pickens. He is inside my top three. I like Pacheco, but more as long-term stash. It looked like it might be McKinnon's next one up. And I agree with Funston on the Pacheco thing. But I would put Pacheco behind Algier, Brian Robinson. So that means Pickens would usurp all that. That's where he would fall.
And Brian Robinson probably still out there for some. I think last week was the big move if he was sitting out to pick him up, but 54% on Yahoo, which, you know, still means plenty of leagues are going to have him out there, and it's probably a good time to pick him up.
Tell you what, he's on Sleeper, because Sleeper makes it so easy to find out, but I'm being facetious. Yeah,
Robinson's but a tough one. Like, does he come in and just become the bell cow? Like, or is he splitting with Gibson? Like, it's a crappy team. Like,
he's Ron on 56%
Ron Rivera, if they lose two games in a row, is Ron Rivera make it to the second half of the season if they are
this like feels
1-6?
This feels like one that builds similar to Michael Carter and Breece Hall. I think it's going to take a couple weeks because he's also got McKissick in there. And I can't imagine they jump right into a bell cow situation, but you should pick up Brian Robinson. Also talent. And, talent jumps over all of these, even though it's going to be dicey when bye weeks come in. Friends, that is the episode. If you guys are wanting more waiver, if you're thirsty and hungry for more waiver wire stuff, make sure you are locked into the All In Kid on Twitter so you can see the waiver wire article that's going to be coming out. Right, usually you drop it like right at like midnight on Tuesday into Wednesday, right?
Yep.
Is that midnight. Right? Yeah. So stay up late
for Monday Night Football.
Yep. Miss work, stay up late, and read all the article three times over. Make sure you do it. Make sure you sign up with The Athletic so you can do so. And make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you can hang with us later in the week, as we are going to be giving you all the stuff for week 5. For Brandon Funston, Jake Seeley, I'm Chris Welsh, and we'll talk to you next time. Later.